Now, we're going to look at a couple of places. So you can look in the Old Testament in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And then we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. And then we'll look also in Proverbs 29, 18. And we'll hear some words from Solomon. Praise God. Here in Jeremiah 29, 11, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I have," or "I think towards you." And now one translation, I believe it's Amplified, says, "I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you." Amen. Aren't you glad God's thinking about you today? And aren't you glad God has plans for you today? Hallelujah. You need to get a hold of that. God has a plan for my life. God says, "I know the thoughts." In other words, God knows His thoughts and plans that He has for us, that He thinks towards us. Then listen to what He says. He says, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Ooh, glory to God. Isn't that good? God says, "My thoughts and my plans, the things I'm thinking about, things I'm planning for you, are not evil thoughts. They're not bad thoughts. They're not to do you bad thoughts, but they're good thoughts, praise God. To do good things for you, to bless you, to give you a future and a hope." Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't it amazing that God is more interested in your future than He is your past? Come on. God wants you going forward, not going backward. Hallelujah. God wants you to have hope, not be hopeless. God wants you to understand that you serve a good God, and He's a good God, not a bad God, not an evil God, not a sickness God, not a poverty God, not a defeat God, but a good God who has good thoughts and good plans, and He's thinking these things and He's planning these things for you and me every day of our life. Hallelujah. And God wants us to get a hold of these things. In fact, over here in Proverbs 29:18, here the Bible says this, "Where there is no revelation," King James says, "where there is no vision." The word vision in the Hebrew there means also sight, where you can't see certain things, where there's no revelation that God is a good God, where there's no revelation that God has good thoughts and good plans, where there's no revelation that you don't understand the character and the nature of God and what He wants to do in your life, the people perish. New King James says they cast off restraint. What's that mean? Well, you know, one translation, it says about vision, he says, where there's no redemptive revelation of God. What are you talking about, redemptive revelation? Where there's no revelation, where you don't see what God has done for you in the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ. When you don't have a revelation of what Christ has done for you and who God is, you perish. He says, you cast off restraint. What's that mean? It doesn't change the way you live. Come on, give me an amen. Amen. God is saying to us here, you need to understand that I'm a good God, and you need to know that I have good thoughts towards you, and I have great plans for you, and I do not want to do evil in your life. I want to do good in your life. And I want to give you a great future, and I want to give you hope. In other words, I want hope there means joyful, confident expectations. In other words, I want you to be joyful about tomorrow. I want you to be confident about your future. I want you to have expectations that you're going to be more than conquerors and overcomers, and good things are going to happen in your life. He says, I want you looking ahead with an excitement in your life because I have a plan for you. Hallelujah. But here, Solomon writes and says, where there's no vision, there's no insight into that, where there's no revelation of what God has for you and what God wants to do for you, he says, where there's no revelation of that redemption that Jesus Christ purchased for you, people perish. In other words, people cast off restraint. He's saying this, if you don't get a revelation of God's plans, if you don't get a revelation of God's thinking, then you're going to perish. You're not going to change your life. Amen? See, a lot of problems with Christians is this. We get saved, but then we don't take time to find out what God's plan is for our life. Amen. We don't get a revelation of what the redemption of Jesus Christ is all about. We don't get a revelation of God. We get saved and still think, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The most uninspired scripture in the Bible, and we take it and you make it a cornerstone for our life. You know that Job spoke that when he was covered in boils and everything was going bad in his house? And he had no clue. In fact, later on, God shows up and said, why are you talking about me like that? Amen. And straightens his theology out. Hallelujah. And so you've got to get a hold of this. And so we read here that where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, where there's no insight into God's plans and purposes for us and what God has done for us in his redemptive revelation and his plan of redeeming us from the curse. He says, when you don't get a hold of that, even though you become a Christian, you don't change your lifestyle. And I'm convinced right now across America that 80% of the church has no vision of who God really is. Because if we did, we wouldn't talk like we talk. We wouldn't act like we act. We wouldn't go to places we go. We wouldn't do things to people that we're doing because we're still not letting our life be changed because we don't have a revelation of who God is and what His plan is for our life. Amen. See, you got to get, let's break it on down to this. Where there's no revelation that Jesus is the healer, people live in sickness and disease. You perish, you cast off restraint. What's that mean? You live anyway. Where there's no vision that God is a holy God, people will live unholy. They'll cast off the restraints of holiness and live any way they want to live. Where there's no revelation that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19, my people cast off restraint and live hand to mouth and barely get along and then blame God for it. Come on. See, the trouble with the church today is this. It's not that we don't love God. It's just that we don't love God according to knowledge. I'm going to say it again. We don't love God according to knowledge. The Bible says in 1 John 2 that love is perfected by doing the Word of God. In other words, you have to learn how to love God. You have to learn how to do the things of God. You have to learn how to be a Christian. Anybody here found out that whenever you got saved, you still had a flesh to contend with? Huh? Anybody here find out that the same temptations that before you went to the altar was still waiting on you outside the church when you left the altar? And your flesh wanted to go do it? Anybody find out your mouth wanted to talk like it did before asked Jesus to be his Lord? Come on now, don't look at me in that holy, pious look. I'll come out and smack you. I'll tell you right now, amen. And so even though God has all these good intentions and these great plans and these thoughts towards us and a future that he has prepared for us and he's sent Jesus to redeem us, he says here that without a revelation of that, you will perish. Without a revelation of what God has done for you, you can't work it in your life. Without a revelation of that, you'll cast off the restraints of the Word and live the way the world is. So how am I going to get a revelation of God? How am I going to get a redemptive revelation? How am I going to get God's vision in my life? Well, he says right here in verse 18, but happy is he that keeps the law. What's the law? The Word of God. In other words, he says, if you want to understand what God's plan is for your life, get into the Word of God. If you want to be happy, be a Word person. Quit being a feelings person. Quit being a worldly person. Quit being a lack of knowledge person. Quit being somebody that lets the world dictate and determine how it's going to act and respond. Be a Word person. Hallelujah. Because happy and blessed and to be envied is the person who practices the Word of God, because the Word of God reveals to me God's plan for my life. Amen. I can remember the first revelation that I got was John chapter 10, verse 10. And you know, up till that time, I thought that the Lord put sickness on you to teach you. And, you know, and I'll be real honest with you. I had a summer there when I was in college at East Tennessee State between my junior and senior year. And it you know, I was sick for 2 weeks in a row. I got sick and actually was going to work in the vacation Bible school there at the church we were attending and stuff and got sick and couldn't make it. So, you know, I got back up and got to going a little too early, and it came back on me. So I spent about, you know, a little over 2 weeks in bed and just really fighting it. And, you know, and our church there love their heart. You know, they love God, just not according to knowledge. They loved God according to religion. They loved God according to what they'd been told. They loved God according to how the world loves God. But you love God according to the word. Hallelujah. You find out how to love God. And so they always taught this, that the Lord loves you and he's trying to teach you and keep you humble. And so the Lord's putting that sickness on you to teach you something. And I finally told the pastor, if God doesn't get the message across to me real soon, I'm about to die. This lesson's about to kill me. And so, you know, but we just struggled along through it, you know, and we weren't taught that God wanted to prosper, so we just barely made it along and going along and stuff. And so then finally, praise God, I get a hold of the revelation of John 10:10. It's amazing what happens when you read the Bible. Amen. And I got to reading John 10:10. You know what it says. The thief cometh. I'll have to say it to you out of the King James because that's what I read it out. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Yes, I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I said, well, who's the thief? Then I got to reading down there a little bit farther and it says that the devil's a thief. He's come. And then I found out in Mark chapter 4 that the devil's a thief that comes to steal the word. He doesn't want you getting into the word. The sower sows the word in verse 14, but in verse 15, the devil comes immediately to steal the word out of your heart. Why? Because he knows if you get a hold of the word, you're going to get a hold of God's vision, God's plan, and God's purpose, and you're going to come out of that bondage and come over into a place where the word starts controlling you. And if the word's controlling you, the devil can't control you. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, my eyes were open. I had a vision. Hallelujah. See, vision means you can see it. I see it, praise God. God, you're not the one putting this stuff on me. It's that stinking devil. Amen. And all of a sudden, I realized I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to be poor. I don't have to be beat down. I don't have to be a nobody. I don't have to live in remorse. I don't have to live in condemnation. I don't have to live in insecurity. I don't have to live in any of the junk the devil's been peddling, saying, God, put it on me to teach me something. No, praise God. I got a vision from God, and the revelation was that Jesus has a plan for my life, and he came to redeem me from the curse so I could walk in the blessing. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something, folks. It's a whole lot more happy life whenever you are walking in the Word than when you're not walking in the Word. Come on, you enjoy being a Christian whenever you find out what the Word says. Because all of a sudden, God is no longer against you. God is for you. Hallelujah. And somebody says, well, what does that count? Well, did you read over in Hebrews where he says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Did you ever read 1 John 4 that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them? For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have you ever read in Romans chapter 8? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Hallelujah. Come on, church. See, we're not walking in the revelation of God's plans and purposes for our lives because we haven't seen them yet. And so if there's no vision, we're going to perish. If there's no revelation of what God has for us and who we are in Christ, we're going to cast off restraints. Meaning what? We're not going to have purpose. See, to cast off restraint means you're just going to do whatever comes next. And so your circumstances control you, and you find yourself fighting fires all the time and being up and down and in and out and wandering around and what's next and how am I going to do this? But whenever you get into the Word and you begin to find out God's plan, then all of a sudden what you do is you lock in on that. And now instead of being tossed here and tossed there and moved here and moved there, and instead of this little test coming up or that little test coming up and changing you, no, I know what God's plan is. I've already seen it. Hallelujah. I know what God's wanting to do in this thing. I'm not going to go taken off over here, and I'm not going to be caught up over here. And no, devil, you're not going to distract me with that anymore. And no, you're not going to beat me with that last condemnation thing anymore. You're not going to tear me down with the insecurity anymore. You're not going to tell me I'm a worthless nobody anymore, because I have a plan, and it's God's plan, and I see it now. God wants to do something big in my life. Hallelujah. And so now you are walking, now you're keeping the word. And all of a sudden, you're a happy Christian, praise God. See, I don't know about you, but I've been through battles. And praise God, there are times I've had to be a happy Christian by faith. Amen. See, there's a reason the Bible says, happy is he that keeps the law. Because sometimes you have to make your mind up, you're going to keep this thing. Are you hearing me? If the devil's coming to steal it, that means you have to hang on to it and hang on to it and hang on to it and make sure you keep it and don't let him take it. Amen? And not every battle is fun. Not every battle is a ha, ha, ha. But I'm going to tell you what. In every battle, you just make up your mind. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord anyway. I found out, I read the Word, and the Word says in James 1 that if I find myself in a test or a trial, I'm to count it all joy. It means I may not have it, but I'm going to count it till I get it, praise God. That means I'm just going to walk around going, joy, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And all of a sudden, then you change, and what you say changes, and how you deal with things changes. Hallelujah. Last night I was watching the game and something happened and I had a pair of just sandals, I guess you would call it, and they were there. So I'm barefoot and it went the wrong way. And I got up and I stepped on my sandal and it just added to the aggravation. Because I stepped on it and it didn't feel good. And I remember stepping, I was going, ah, and I went, somebody said, what came out of your mouth? I'll tell you exactly what came out of my mouth. And I was really thankful for it. Amen. I went, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That hurt. Amen. Now, without the Word, there would have been a few other choice words that would have not been holy and godly that would have came out of my mouth. Amen. See, sometimes you have to keep the Word. What's that mean? The devil's going to come in to try to steal it from you, but you have to hang on to it and say, no, I'm keeping this. I'm not going to replace the Word with something else. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to replace faith with fear. No, devil, just take that and leave. No, I'm not going to replace love with hate. No, you can't have that. No, Mr. Devil, I'm not going to replace confidence with a lack of confidence that you're peddling me. No, Mr. Devil, I'm not going to replace God's power in my life with weakness. No, I'm keeping hold of what God says. Amen? I'm going to walk in this thing because God, my Father, has plans for me. And God is thinking those plans, and he wants me to think those plans with him. Amen? He doesn't want me thinking the devil's plans while God trying to live for God. Amen? He wants me to think God's plan, live God's plan, walk in God's plan. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to get into the Word until the Word becomes my vision. You know what Jesus said over in John chapter 8? You remember the story over in chapter 8, verse 30, 31, 32. He was preaching the Word, and it says, and while he spoke, many believed his Word. And then Jesus turned to those who believed and said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And then listen to what he said. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know what Jesus said? He's basically saying the same thing Solomon said. If you get in my word and keep my word and stay with my word, that word will become the truth in your life. That word will become the vision. That word will become what you see. That word will become how you think. That word will become what you speak. That word will become your attitude and your actions. And if you stay with that word will set you free from your past and from all the junk that the devil's trying to throw at you. Thank you, God. Amen? So there are two things here I want you to look at real quickly. If you're going to walk in vision in this next year, if you're going to walk in the things that God has for you, there are two elements or two parts of the vision that you have to have operating in your life. Number one, you have to have a personal vision for your life. Did you hear me? You have to have a personal revelation, personal redemptive revelation of Christ Jesus in your life. Who are you in Christ? How do you see yourself? What are the thoughts you think about yourself? Are you hearing me? See, you're never going to walk in victory until you quit identifying with your past and start identifying with your future. You're never going to walk in victory until you quit identifying with sin and start identifying with righteousness in God. Are you hearing me? You've got to quit identifying yourself in your past, in your sins, and who you were, and start seeing yourself as who you are right now in Christ Jesus. Some of you are defeated because you see yourself defeated. You see yourself just an old sinner saved by grace. You see yourself barely making it. You see yourself, I'm a drug addict, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a smoker, I'm a thugger. No. You were that, but now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Quit identifying with your past and start identifying with who you are now in Christ Jesus. I don't identify with a sick, weak person. I identify myself as a strong, healthy, overcomer person. Hallelujah. I don't identify myself as somebody, he's just dumb. He don't know anything. No, I identify myself. I'm smart, intelligent, and I can think it out. Hallelujah. Well, he's just, you know, I've just never was able to do much. No, blessed be God, I don't see myself that way anymore. That man died with Jesus on the cross on Calvary. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible says we were raised with him. And when he ascended on high, we ascended on high with him. When he was seated at the right hand of God, we were seated with him. And blessed be God, he was seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Every name that's named, every title that can be conferred, everything that can come against me, that means I'm above it too. Because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. And I see myself in Christ. See, you had to grab that. See, and this is the thing, your flesh will fight you. And until you get your mind renewed to the Word, your mind will fight you. Amen. You stand up one day and say, blessed be God, I'm more than a conqueror. And you know what your flesh wants to do? Oh, God. Did he really say that? Come on. You stand up and you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you go, oh God. Hope nobody heard me. Because that's the flesh trying to fight back. That's the enemy trying to steal that from you. That's the enemy trying to tell you, who do you think you are saying stuff like that? Well, you know what you did last week. You know what you said when you stepped on your shoe. Come on. But you see, here's the thing. I'm not going to let the thief come and steal the word that's been sown in my heart. I'm going to stay with it, praise God. I'm going to stay with it until it becomes the truth that it causes me to think this way, see this way, act this way, talk this way, do this way. Are you hearing me? It begins to transform my life. Now, look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what the Bible says about getting a personal revelation, a personal redemptive revelation of who you are in Christ, a vision that you get from Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, very familiar scripture. I like verse 17 too. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Hallelujah. I'm one with Jesus. Amen. But then look what he says. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, who you have from God? You're not your own. Why? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What's he talking about? The devil does not have the right to dominate your life anymore. Jesus paid a price so you could glorify God in your daily life. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to be a mean person. I don't have to be an outcast. I can serve and glorify God in both my body and my heart. Some people say, well, I love God in my heart. Well, get your body involved. Well, I praise the Lord in my heart. Then get your body involved. He said, glorify him in your body and your heart. Your spirit, your heart. What's he saying? He's saying when you begin to understand and get a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, you change how you act. Yes, sir. You do different. You walk different. You look different. You talk different. And you see, if you're not doing that, that means that you don't have a vision yet for it. Oh, it got quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning, didn't it? Amen. Somebody said, did he really preach at me? Sure I did. I'm not pastor anymore. I'm love him, leave him ministries. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. No. you got to get a revelation of this. You see, if you don't see this, it won't change how you treat people, how you do. Your body will still control you. But God says you're not to let your body control you. You're now to take your body as the temple of the Holy Ghost and glorify God in how you live. What you've got on the inside is supposed to be manifesting on the outside also. And you need to see yourself that way. See, a lot of you folks, the problem is not how other people are seeing you. It's how you're seeing you. Because you see, here's the thing. James chapter 1 says that you got to look into that word and stay with it just like you look into a mirror. And you got to stay in that mirror until you know that you got every hair in place. Are you listening to me? And when your hair gets this color, you have to spend a little extra time because it just all fades into the light. Hallelujah. Amen. I got ready for church and I brushed my hair. I thought, that looks really good. Praise God. I sprayed some little stuff on it to keep it where it's supposed to be. Put some drops in my eyes to make sure I had good moist eyes so I could see good. And I could see I didn't get all of them right because there's some little rebellious ones just sticking everywhere. God, you sorry little things, you. Hallelujah. So I had to just work it over. In other words, I had to spend a little extra time in front of the mirror to see it all. Amen. Well, guess what, church? If you're not seeing yourself different, you need to spend a little extra time in front of the mirror called the Holy Word until you start seeing it all. Are you hearing me? Until you change the way you see yourself. Because you see, you've got to get God's thoughts and God's plans operating in your life. And it's revealed in His Word. And you begin to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Look in Romans chapter 12 real quick. Look over here what he says. He says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul again writing to their church, I beseech you, or I'm begging of you, I'm pleading with you, therefore, brethren. In other words, he's talking to Christians. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice that. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, this is your responsibility. Jesus saved you. He went on the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He redeemed you. Now He's saying, now take your body and quit letting it be used of the world and start glorifying Me in your attitudes and actions and how you treat people and how you do things. Let them see Christ in you. You know, we were watching the games and the one was the Chick-fil-A bowl or whatever. And you can fuss at Chick-fil-A all you want to, but I'm going to tell you what. They've got these commercials where these people really have done things. They have one where the guy does the signing where he saw somebody come in and he was trying to order and the guy signed and they do that and how they became friends. And I told Bonnie, I said, without ever preaching one gospel message, they witness about Jesus every day and how they treat people, how they serve people, how their attitudes and actions. I said, that's Christianity. That's how you're supposed to live. We don't have to go out here and beat people over the head with the word, but we have to put Christ in our life, see Him in our life, live Him in our life, exercise Him in our life, and let people see Christ in us and how we live. That's what He's talking about by glorify God in your bodies. He's not talking about putting on some kind of a clothes or some kind of a whatever holy garb. He's talking about in your actions and attitudes, present yourself to God and see yourself as a Christian. Hallelujah. And in every situation, respond from Christ, not from the world. And then he goes on and he says this, here's how you do it. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. How am I going to prove? I've got to get my mind renewed. I've got to figure it out. You can't prove something you don't know. What am I going to prove? What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? See, you can't prove it in your life if you haven't changed the way you think about it. You can't prove that Jesus is your healer until you get a revelation and a vision and insight that healing belongs to you. Amen. Then you can begin to use your faith to make that work in your life. Yes, sir. You'll never prove that you are more than a conqueror to anybody until it gets real in your life and you believe that you're going to win. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know which direction it's coming from. But I know God's going to get me through this thing. Hallelujah. And listen, and you begin to get your mind renewed, and all of a sudden you find out there were times that the Lord was delivered out of the storm. There were times He was delivered through the storm. But every time He got delivered. Amen? And so sometimes you begin to get a hold of this, and people say, well, it didn't just happen automatically. Well, that's okay. Sometimes it happens instantly. Sometimes it's a process. But the thing is this, it's always God in time, on time, helping me to get where I need to get. And I'm going to stay with Him. Amen? Because you've changed your attitude. You go into it expecting God's plans to work over the enemy's plans. Amen? Why? Because I've renewed my mind to the things of God. One last scripture here in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to look at this one. Look what he says over here in Ephesians 4. This just makes it so plain to us. In Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning around verse 17... here the apostle says it this way. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk or live as the rest of the Gentiles live and walk in the futility of their mind. Notice that. He said, you're a Christian now. Quit living like the world. Quit walking. Quit acting. Quit talking. Quit being like the world. See yourself different. Get a vision of who you are in Christ. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. That's why I do things. That's why I live a certain way. That's why I go places. That's why I treat people a certain way. I'm a Christian. I don't have to preach a message. I am to be the message. I'm going to say it again. I don't have to preach the message. I am the message. Are you hearing me? That's our vision. That's the revelation God wants us to get. That's why He said, glorify God in your spirit and your body. Be the message. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What's he saying? Just live it. Just live it. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Altman, Pastor Darrell. If I start living this, there are people take advantage of me. No, he said in Romans chapter 8, it doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what it looks like. They might say you're a lamb led for the slaughter. But Paul goes on and says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Why? Because God's way will always get you the victory. Hallelujah. See, you have a vision. You have a revelation of who you are in Christ. And I'm going to live this thing. I'm not going to live like I used to live. I'm not going to talk like I used to talk. I'm not going to think like I used to think. I'm not going to treat people like I used to treat people. In fact, whenever I first got saved, I didn't know a whole lot about the Bible. Didn't even own a Bible. Bonnie and I didn't own a Bible between the two of us. We'd just gotten married. I'd gotten saved, and she'd rededicated her life to the Lord. And then we got married that fall. Went to the college and had no Bible. Went to church, and she said, I said, you know, they was having communion. I never had a communion in my life. So don't say, well, you had a great, rich heritage. I had a sinner heritage. Don't talk to me about that. Come on. Kind of like one fellow said, you know, they thought that the apostles were the men, the epistles were their wives, you know. I was about that dumb when it came to the Word of God, too. Hallelujah. Amen. But we got us a Bible, and we started reading it. But we didn't have any clue as to how to be a Christian, how to live, what to do, or anything. But thank God we began to get into the Word, and we began to find out, and God changed us. Hallelujah. And folks, I didn't want to go back to the bars. I cut off listening to certain music because I didn't want it to pull me back into the world that I was coming out of. There were certain buddies that I couldn't hang out with because they didn't want anything to do with God. And so therefore, I had to separate myself a little bit. I didn't treat them bad, but I couldn't go to the places with them anymore. Somebody said, well, how'd that happen? You lose all your friends? No, I won about half of them to Jesus. Just by living a different life in front of them. Not condemning them. Not putting them down, not trying to act like I was better than them, just letting them know I found something that makes me happy. Because happy is he that keepeth the word. I found out something that God wanted to do in my life. Amen? And you see, that's who we are. That's what we have to grab a hold of. Listen, let's read on down and see what he says. He says, don't live like the Gentiles. He says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Notice that. Don't let anything separate you from God's life, God's grace, God's goodness. He says, how do they get alienated from God? Because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. See, they don't have a revelation. They don't have sight. So they're blinded. So they're separated from God's blessings. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, you're a Christian. You've learned. God tells you, you can't live like that anymore. You got to get a revelation so you can get some restraint in your life, so you can get some discipline in your life, so you can get direction in your life. You can have some strength to say no when the enemy's trying to pull you down. So how am I going to do that? If indeed that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, how am I going to get that strength? Through being taught the word and realizing the truth is in Jesus, not in the world. The truth is in this Bible, not out here in philosophy. I'm going to get that truth in my life. What's that truth going to tell me, Paul? That you, me, Daryl Huffman, put off concerning your former conduct in life, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and you, Daryl Huffman, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in your attitude, in your actions, how you see things, and how you believe, and how you have a vision for your life. Let your life be changed. Why, God? That you, Daryl Huffman, may put on the new man, which was created according to God, into true righteousness and holiness. So you can change your life. You can change how you live, change how you believe, change how you treat people, change the direction, change your vision, change your purpose, and begin to see God's plans. And come out of sadness all the time to being happy. Hallelujah. Listen to me, folks. Demas Shakarian, back in the late 60s of 1969, somewhere, he got a group of people together. And out of that came the Full Gospel Businessmen. And they witnessed across this nation through the 70s up even to the 80s. It was a great, great, great organization of bringing people together and just witnessing to them about Jesus and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote a book. And you know what his book was entitled? Christians Ought to Be the Happiest People on Earth. And you know what? You want to be one of the happiest people on earth? Get a vision, a revelation. Get some insight as to who you are in Christ. And then get in the Word and begin to put off. You got a problem with anger? Kill it. Put it off. Get in the Word until you get that out of your life. You got a problem with insecurity? Get in the Word and get that out of you until you become secure in Christ. You got a problem with feeling unworthy because of your past? Get in the Word until you begin to get a revelation that God has blotted out your sins and He no longer remembers your unrighteousness and your lawless deeds, and He's put it in the sea of forgetfulness and doesn't bring it up anymore. And now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? See, God says, get in the Word and begin to get this revelation of who you are. And begin to keep that Word in you until it begins to change your attitude. Till it gives you direction. Begins to give you parameters. Yes, sir. Are you listening to me? I have restraints in my life. Are you hearing me? There are certain things I don't do. Certain things I don't say. Certain places I don't go. Are you hearing me? What do you do that? Because I know there's nothing but sin, destruction, and failure, and defeat, and brokenness, and hurt, and sadness, and pain, and everything else over there. So God's Word gives me direction. Why? Because I want to be happy, and blessed, and prosperous, and victorious. Amen. I want to get up and smile in the mornings. Hallelujah. I want to walk in victory in my life. And you know what? I'm so thankful for what Jesus did for me. I want to spend the rest of my life thanking Him, glorifying Him, and praising Him for loving me so much that He would leave His place of glory, come and be born into this earth as a babe in a manger, and then live His life for 33 years on this earth, going through every kind of test and trial that you and I have to face every day, and then die on a cross for me. take my sin to my place on the cross and die and be separated from the Father, where he had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had to turn his face away from his Son, and Jesus went down into the very belly of the earth, and there he was tormented for 3 days and three nights, and there in the pit of the earth, right down in hell itself, he had to suffer for you and me. He took the suffering that you and I should have to take. But then, praise God, on that third morning, on that first resurrection morning, God said, it's enough. And Hebrews says, again, you are my Son, and again, I am your Father. And when God said that, the Holy Ghost came down through into hell itself, and Jesus was quickened and made alive and became the first man born from sin. And he threw off sin. He threw off the devil. He threw off demons. He conquered him, took the keys of death and hell, took the crown of righteousness off the devil's head, and rose up victorious, King of kings, Lord of lords, High Priest, Savior, Redeemer of mankind. He went to heaven, put his blood on the mercy seat, and redeemed me forever so that I could come without condemnation into the very presence of my Father, and I could call him God, Father. Hallelujah. And someone who would do that for me, it's a reasonable thing. As Paul said, it's a reasonable thing for me to present my body to God and say, God, be glorified today in my actions. Be glorified today in my attitudes. Be glorified today in how I treat people. Be glorified today in how I think. Be glorified today in how I talk. Be glorified today in my life, Lord. Just be seen in me today, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, we become God's message to the world. And know what? You know when you've got the vision of God operating in you? Is when somebody comes up and says, something different about you. What is it about you? How are you happy? What's going on in your life? And you look at him and say, I'll tell you what's going on in my life. You got a couple minutes? And you tell him how Jesus saved you from whatever it was you got saved out of, and how you have a vision for your life now, and you have a plan for your life, and you get up every day, and you're going towards what God has for you, and striving to be what God called you to be. And when this life is over, you get to go be with Jesus in heaven. Hallelujah. And then you get to come back and reign for 1,000 years on earth with him, praise God, as a priest. Oh, come on, church. And then you look at him, you say, and what the Lord did for me, he'll do for you. All you have to do is ask him in your heart. And all of a sudden, you have just brought somebody out of darkness into the kingdom of God with you. Folks, this is who we have to be. This is who we have to grow into. You are born into this, but now you have to put off the old and put on the new. How? By renewing yourself to God's word and God's will for your life. And I want to tell you, it's the greatest thing you'll ever do. See, the greatest thing God ever did was save you. But the greatest thing you'll ever do for God is to change who you are and glorify him and walk in his vision for your life. Amen? That's what he's looking for.